Blog Talk Radio.
The whole liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community, that's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment at this moment.
Separated from my language, separated from my
too modest, because I'm the hardest on his path to progress, there's incarnate. Regardless, this is a harvest for the world to harness. Elders dream, creators promise, being free is like paying homage. I've been on that beast, Black Dalai Lama. My college was between Stony and college. The knowledge, I got it because niggas was valid. Knew I had to pull it, the bullet or the ballot. It's like the parable of the story of the talents. When my people took it paper with no margin, turning ghettos to gardens, like Ron Finley. Through stages of life, the world's my Wembley. I MC from the point of entry of peace. Some find it don't do the paper routing, and some find they peace through praise and shouting. And some find they peace through pulling the shade like Malcolm. I found my peace, making these albums peace. Ground zero for xenophobia. They love to troll me, a misquote me. They even wrote me out of all accounts, other than show them a small amount. Till I called them out, I'm what the story is all about. My arrival wasn't willingly, nah, but that's chillingly the truth. Now I'm fear for shots from cops killing me. They on a hunt for the plug, and we the auxiliary. The black power and love, I'm all the above. But find peace in the culture, I'm responsible to saving every piece of the puzzle, every article, the page. I'm at peace in the struggle, I'm awake and not afraid. While I'm channeling my energy from particle to wave at peace, like Mandela seated on Robben Island. Wise like a prophet arriving from the highlands. Look, I'm not here for any kind of problem. Keep me out of your gossip column. Thank you, I'm calm and tranquil. At the time and place you I shine. Word to God, I'm divine and grateful. The grind could break you. If you concentrate, you can find your faith with a higher conscience. Take you back.
Education's basic, and most of the youth them wasted. And when them wasted, the up when them take the guns, replace it, then them don't stand a chance at all. And that's why enough little youth have up some fatmatic with the extra magazine in a them back pocket. And a bleach at night time in a some black jacket. All who not lock blocks at them a lock rocket. Then we pull the up a current like a shock socket. Then we run a road block with the cops block it. And from now till a man in a stop clock it. If them run out around that broke back rocket. Outside, not outside. East Coast, West Coast. Yo. Cornwall, Middle Sticks, and Surrey, y'all.
Out in the street, they call it
in this jungle, jungle, oh, warrior music, oh.
Me wake up from a dream, couldn't go back to sleep. Me sit up and a prayer situation now comes. And me always dead to see them, but me not see them in a my tribulation.
Oh, it's so funny that the people them would tell yourself to trust them. You never ever get them when you call them.
I just you and the problem. Problem.
In this jungle,
jungle,
every man feed themselves to prepare for fight. Jungle,
jungle,
he give thanks to the one for truth and life.
Jungle,
jungle, the victory's there, there on the battlefield. Real warriors keep it real.
Me get a flat down the road to me car overload. Me have the spear on my phone battery empty. Maybe to me raga raga, me sure never press. People drive past Nile me.
And the ones who pretend to care, them just all about the money, yeah. Here comes the cops who want to ticket me. Ain't nothing but this, no funny. In this jungle,
jungle,
every man feed themselves to prepare for fight. Jungle,
jungle,
they give thanks to the one for truth to life.
Jungle,
jungle,
the victory's there, there on the battlefield.
Real warriors keep it real.
In this jungle,
things I never ever want to see.
Many true characters conceal.
Flattering lips with smiling faces. Pass them all the while in different places.
In this jungle,
everyone seems to have a need in agenda.
Hey.
So why you hunting for mine? Now go on like some blind.
In this jungle,
jungle,
every man feed themselves to prepare for fight.
Jungle,
jungle,
they give thanks to the one for truth to life.
Jungle,
jungle,
the victory's there, there on the battlefield.
Real warriors keep it real.
In this jungle, 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 jungle. Jungle, 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 jungle.
Hey.
In this jungle, 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 jungle. In this jungle, this jungle.
Me wake up from a dream, couldn't go back to sleep. Me sit up and a prayer situation now comes. And me always dead for them, but me not see them in a my tribulation.
Oh, it's so funny that the people them would tell yourself to trust them.
You never ever get them when you call them.
I just you and the problem, the problem.
In this jungle,
jungle,
every man feed themselves to prepare for fight.
Jungle,
jungle,
they give thanks to the one for truth and life.
Jungle,
jungle,
the victory's there, there on the battlefield.
Real warriors keep it real.
In this jungle,
jungle,
every man see themselves to prepare for fight.
Jungle,
jungle,
they give thanks to the one for truth and life.
Jungle,
jungle,
the victory's there, there on the battlefield.
Thanks.
Yo, look at Grinch with them stupid bell bottom pants, man.
Your Word. Shoes, man, they make you look like a fool.
Word!
While you dive, Turkeys, I'll knock you through Sunday and be waiting for you on Monday. You're too young to have seen the sights of Esther Mammy and Pappy about Dolomite.
Planet Earth was my place of birth, born to be the sole controller of the universe. Inside the part of the map, I hit first. Any environment I can adapt. When it gets worse, the rough gets going, the going gets rough. When I start blowing the mic, mic bust. The next day to shake from the power I generate. People in Cali used to think it was earthquakes. Times is hard on the boulevard, so I fold guard and never get scarred. I'm guard, but it seems like I'm locked in hell. Looking over the edge, but the R never fell. A trip to slip, cause my knife got grip. Stand on my own 2 feet and come equipped. Any stage I'm seen on, a mic I fiend on. I stand alone and need nothing to lean on. Going for self with a long way to go. So much to say, but I still flow slow. I come correct and I won't look back. Cause it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Even though nobody's smiling. Relax in my room and escape from New York and return through the wound of the world as a thought. Thinking how hard it was to be born. Me being queen with no physical form. Playing yourself with one destination to reach the best part of life's creation. 9 months later, a job well done. Make way, cause here I come. Since I made it this far, I can't stop now. There's a will and a way, and I got the know-how to be all I can be and more, and see all the ends to see before. I'm called to go back to the essence. It's a lot to learn, so I study my lessons. I thought the ghetto was the worst that can happen to me. I'm glad I listened when my father was rapping to me. Cause back in the days, they lived in caves. Exiled from the original man and strayed away. Now that's what I call hard times. I'd rather be here to exercise the mind. Then I take the thought around the world twice. From knowledge to form, back to knowledge precise. Across the desert, that's hot as the Arabian. But they couldn't cave me in, cause I'm the Asian. Reaching for the city of Mecca, visit Medina. Visions of Nefertiti, then I seen her. Mind keeps traveling, I'll be back after. I stop and think about the brothers and sisters in Africa. Return the doors through the eye of a needle. For miles I fought and I just brought the people. Under the dark skies, on the dark side. Not only there, but right here to the park side. So now is the time for us to react. Take a trip through the mind and when you get back, understand your third eye, seen all of that. It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Even the props, I want property in every borough. Nobody stopping me because of several rhymes I make. Give me real estate for me to own. Wherever I bless a microphone, 007 is back and relaxing. On point and reacting and ready for action. I'm so low key that you might not see me. Incognito and taking it easy. Why I just kept on a hush hush in front of a crowd. I get loud as a phone rush for calm. Keep a low pro and play the background. Over the whack rapper, put the mic back down. So rip it, break it in half, go ahead and slam it. Cause when it's time to build, I'm a mechanical bonding, amending, attaching and blending. So many solos, there is no ending. People in my neighborhood, they know I'm good. From London to Hollywood, wherever I stood. Footprints remain on stage ever since. Sidewalks and streets, I leave fossils. And then, when I had sex, I left my name on next. My trademark was left throughout the projects. I used to get rich when I played CeeLo. When I roll 4, 5, 6, they go keto. So I collect my cast and slide. I got my back, my guns on my side. It shouldn't have to be like that. I guess it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Even the
nobody's smiling. Nobody's smiling.
I'm from the
I want you to stay in school and be cool. If you fight, you're going to have to answer to Dolomite.
Right about now, NWA quarters in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E. Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take
the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that dick cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to take off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole up bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Such a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, it can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop.
Chicken shit, motherfucker.
That's the lie! That's the lie!
Black power, black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned in to Independent People Week Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, which you host People's Political Party, National your co-host, National Member of the Peace for the Motherland, and my fellow Sister Amina Oshun. Call in every night, every Tuesday night, like play same black card, 845-277-9266. Again, that's 845-277-9266. Press number one to participate. This is the People's Radio. Tonight's topic, third-party politics. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line for our host, People's Political Party National Chairman, Brother Nat Turner. Black power, black power, black power. Can you hear me, comrade?
Right on, black power, so I get you loud and clear. Right on. Welcome everybody to another show. We view this as political education class. You know what I'm saying? Just on radio, you know. We're not CNN, we're not Fox, we need a major corporate control news propaganda outlets. We just trying to reach the people the best way we know how, or whatever channel we can come up with. All forms of media are usable to whatever extent. You know, that could be visual, audio, or it can be a newspaper, newsletter, magazine, whatever, book, billboard, sign, poster, whatever the case may be, to reach the people. Propaganda is a deadly weapon in the hands of those who don't mean us no good. We know them as the enemy. The enemy is the state, and as we always like to explain for those who yet may not have heard what we mean by the state, the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. And I think I'm going to tie that into tonight's topic, third-party politics. Got around to that topic. You know, we've been doing this Zoom thing with a brother named Marquard Bridges, who started a group called Building Bridges. And they basically been focusing on you know, what, you know, we like to refer to as impacted families who've lost loved ones to what we're told is the police, police violence, what we understand is police terror. And it's more extreme forms, or not even extreme forms, and just it's more what we feel is a labeling or expression, a term due to our experience with police, pig terrorism. This is no thing where we try to use disparaging terms or anything, you know, to set ourselves apart from any other organizations, groups, or what have you. We learned that expression due to a relationship, and that those that came before us were heavily influenced what the People's Political Party is about, not as the Black Panther Party. They correctly assessed the police. They correctly calculated, if you will, you know, the police for what it is, as an arm of the state, wing of the capitalist structure, put in place to keep those who wield the power, those who direct the power, who steer it, the state machine, the state machinery, and do for their own good. Their ambitions, which are selfish, classes and races, you know, rolled up into one, white male patriarchal rule. Others know it as white supremacy. And then under that type of system, it'll naturally happen that non-whites, black people in particularly, being a person of African descent, black and brown people on a larger scale, who've experienced what exactly it is. And, you know, we cannot leave out what are the people referred to as Native Americans, the indigenous people of this country, who were damn near wiped out from the bottom of Canada to the top of Chile. And the situation that they find themselves, even in this political landscape, some know it as corrupt. Some see it as, race is insufficient on the part of those who neglect black communities, who sell the black community, all the rhetoric, abstract notions of equality and justice and so forth, who presented to us status symbols, token gestures, making someone first black so-and-so of this and first so-and-so black of that and whatnot, to what I like to refer to speaking as keeping black people inoculated, entertaining black people with these gestures in exchange for our further economic, political, social enslavement all across the board. And so, like I was saying, it was a sister on the Zoom. We going around, around the room, so to speak, rather. And, people are speaking in mind and commenting, sharing their thoughts going forward, or, just the whole shebang. And it was a sister on there, spoke rather vehemently. And she was saying that black people, that we need to, come up with our own party, our own shit, you know what I'm saying? Because neither the Republicans or the Democrats, the jackass or the elephant, give a damn about us. She was hitting the nail on the head. it was rather practical what she was saying, and that we need to jettison, we need to vacate from our departed. And so that's what led us around to tonight's topic. And we want to go over that, and what would that look like? How do we go about achieving this third party or independent party, basically independent faction, considering the diversity of black people in this country. We were trying to cover it as best as we can. It's not the first time that this has been suggested or even done. I would say if we go back to 2008, I believe, where they had the Green Party, and they put up two women candidates to run, as an independent party outside of Democrats and Republicans. One was a Cynthia McKinney, or the former congresswoman from the state of Georgia, and we would try to get into a little bit of the politics with her too, as to what led her to make sort of a transformation out of this so-called DC Capitol shit and onto a much larger stage outside of that. And her running mate was Rosa Clemente. Some of you may have heard of her, maybe familiar with her. She's known to be a activist, independent journalist, hip hop activist, and so forth. Grassroots type ideology or philosophy, whatever you want to call it. And so they, that was the feeling then, the notion then. Haven't been too much up on it as of late. I don't know if it still is functional or whatever, but in other words, it was just a sort of similar sentiments, back then. And you know, now sister, you know, she brought it up, and you know, really believe that, you know, because as she put it, you know, they're not the one to give a shit about us. You know, the whole politics thing, putting people in place that's going to do our bidding. It's practical, it's reachable. However, the realization of what it takes and the sacrifice, the possible sacrifice that comes with that, considering the nature of the state. You know, these rich white men, you know, these old rich white men, gray-haired, peppercorn-haired white men, bitten, gained this shit by some kind of benevolent thing, you know, some type of noble cause or feast that they, you know, that they, you know, exerted to get themselves in a position that they in the day. They killed for it. You know, they got violent for it. Their hearts were set on it. They didn't know any peace unless that the people whom that they subjected understood peace in their terms, you know, in exchange for giving, you know, the so-called Native Americans a piece of the pie. And we see it as the crumbs, you know, from the pie. But in the real world, you know, and we couldn't have this conversation, you know, without taking into consideration what capitalism is. You know, just as sure as it is on the streets, hardcore, you know, these concrete realities and stuff that brothers face on the street every day. And just as hardcore as that is as hardcore as capitalism is. One cannot exist without the other, and they become contradictions, you know, because there could be no, in general, collective, say, black hood, black community, the black ghetto, and be those rich white men at the same time. And I guess this would be part of the reason why this is the, you know, firmly believes in what, you know, she what she sees or what she feels a sentence. But third party politics has always been something that could be used both ways. And what I mean by that, when you have to galvanize so many people, it takes an education process in itself, you know, a political education process. And I think the sister may have mentioned, you know, political education. It may not be necessarily, you know, the same line as what we mean by political education. Thing, but she meant literal, you know, literal politics and education. In other words, educating the masses of people on the political landscape about who's going to run, who they're going to put, you know, in the arena to represent their interests or stuff like that. And it all makes sense. Like I say, it's all practical. But there's, you know, there's opposing forces, unseen forces that we're not really cognizant of. And this is what people's political party mean by political education. Getting the people to understand the unseen forces that work, that are at play, and because of someone is like right in our face, like right before us, present to us, you know, an eloquent speaker. That's the main requirement, being an eloquent speaker, you know. Someone, you know, again, you know, we said this before, you know, like a pimp to give it a gab, you know, how to groom people, you know, male and female, and very articulate in word usage, very clever in chaining sentences together, knowing what to say due to the the vulnerabilities of the masses of the people who really believe in the voting system, because they've been told or led to believe that the voting system is the crux of a democracy. You know, is the, you know, the hallmark. You know, it's the linchpin. You know what I'm saying, of democracy. And they forget that it's a system. It's not a voting system. It's a system with the vote inside of it. And actually, it's not a huge part of it. It's part of it, but it's the power structure that can dictate either way it goes. And so to establish a independent party and to move the people in the desired manner, in the desired direction, Huey P. Newton, you know, the principal founder of Black Panther Party, you know, had learned to understand what power is and put it in the proper context, and said that power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. And so you have to define the phenomena. You have to identify what is the phenomena and then get the phenomena, you know, like say, you know, make it act in a desired manner. What is that desired manner? That desired manner is a power trip. And moving the people in a direction where the people can take the power, the people can confiscate the power and dictate their own lives collectively. You know, and so that is the real challenge outside of what could be something in abstract principles. In real time, history has clearly proven this. Have been those who've taken advantage of political situations and have used it, you know, to overthrow governments that didn't line up with the capitalist scheme of things, or what they refer to as international policy or their interests overseas and whatnot. And so to develop an independent party would require moving the people in a mass. And so when you talk about black people, Black people being what we're told 40 million of us here, and to collectively move black people in a desired manner and form and develop an independent party. And then, of course, you need to have to look at it on a larger scale, black and brown people, and then black and brown, and then the rest of the so-called people of color. And then the next in line would be the poor whites, who will share certain sentiments up to a certain point with the blacks, because the blacks are trying to develop an independent party, and those poor whites, for the most part, may see this as a chance to join forces and whatnot. But they're still within that group, those who are fond of the capitalist structure. So it's a whole transformation thing. So yeah, you know, it's one brick at a time. You know, it's a process. And again, you know, like I said, you know, not without sacrifice, to remove the Democrats and the Republicans, in essence, would force them to join forces, because it would appear to be the masses of the people against two political parties, and these two political parties combined to a certain extent without monetize, you know, this independent opposing force that see both of them as illegitimate, as both of them as just filled with rhetoric. The Republicans are about less rhetoric than the Democrats. The Democrats are more clandestine in their outfit, whereas the Republicans will tell you straight up out the gate, yeah, we're conservatives, we're right wing, and we don't like niggas. And we don't have to hide it, and we're not going to hide it. Whereas the Democrats, and this is where the sister, had a point. This is what I believe, what I'm about to explain. I believe that the sister would agree with it. I don't know 100% of what, but I would agree. I would believe that the sister would agree, for the most part, that the Democrats are, you know, those who have mastered the art of rhetoric and selling black people, you know, tickets to heaven, handing out concessions. And this has been something on the heels of when black people, you know, we used to court the Republicans, you know what I'm saying, and until, you know, the shit changed, you know, Jim Crow and whatnot, all this kind of shit. And the Democrats had become our friends then. And so this is where the sister point is. You can go back on it and say, well, yeah, you know, look at it. Well, you know, not one of them, because, you know, we was with these motherfuckers at one point. And then that shit didn't. Then we jumped on the bandwagon with these motherfuckers. They sold us some other pie in the sky, you know, and that's what it became. And so so looking at both of them, say, well, which one would you rather be bitten by, the scorpion or the tarantula? You know, but it may not appear that the Democrats are scorpion or tarantula because of their outfit, because of how they conduct their business. You know, it could be just as dangerous as the Republicans, but some of the fact that, like I said, you know, the Republicans don't really conceal shit. You know, they just be, you know, out and open. Like when that confrontation happened, in one of the Carolina states, and you know, and the people wanted Donald Trump to put down, you know, those skinheads, those neo-Nazi right-wingers and whatnot. What did he say? He said there was good people on both sides. So, you know, he was letting you know that, nigga, look, okay, I understand, but these are some good white people. These are some good white people, too. So when it's Democrats, you know, they crying wolf. You know, they condemning Trump for not putting down these people and all this kind of shit. And then you look at it and you don't see any change. Like talking about it when you go look at the hood, and that's another thing we can get into. You know, it's just a comment about Biden is just as worse, that Biden hasn't spoken out on certain things and whatnot. You know, he's given the, you know, the black collective some concessions. He's come through on his promises. His promises were predicated upon a letter that was written by so-called 100 black leaders, whatever. Black, the terms that they like to apply, you know, themselves, dignitaries or whatever you want to call it. And on this list, we wanted to go with Charlemagne the God. And so my consciousness is trying to figure out how that came to be. You know, a radio personality is on a list of 100 so-called black figures, what do you want to call them, and some letter that, you know, that they wrote by. I don't know how many of us is familiar with that, how many of you are conscious of it. You know what I'm saying? But he came through on his promises. And this is why the same faction is quiet. This is why the same faction is not as critical as you will see these Negro conservatives, Negro pens. You know, the only difference between a Negro pen and a European is that one is brown skin and the other one is pale skin. You know, they have differences in genetics, and that is it. But their mind, their psychology is the same. If you look at J.C. Watt, I can remember, you know, he played quarterback for Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma back in the day. Oklahoma as a teenager was one of the teams that I liked, you know, whatnot. And I remember being quarterback, but look at him now. Herschel Walker played football, USFL Football League, you know, which went and came back, and then he ended up playing for the Dallas Cowboys. Look at him now. He's a Republican. The same shit. The same strategy. Same. There's no difference between him and Trump. Only difference between him and Trump is a genetic thing. You know, they're psychotic. One is beholden to the other because he's been allowed to advance in society. He's been allowed access to material luxury through a sport. And so in their subconscious, you know, they'll forever be beholden to these people. And this is why they have no problem. This is why they can sleep at night. They can assassinate or confiscate their conscience day in, day out, until what some Christians would say Christian-oriented people or Bible-oriented people refer to as Armageddon time and whatnot. But these are the forces that look like us, but is opposed in general to the collective. And this is why they side with them. This is why they side with them. And so this is, and a whole lot of other people, so-called leaders and whatnot, this is why they're quiet when they come to what's saying about Biden and whatnot. But he handed Isaac a such. He chose a black Supreme Court justice. You know what I'm saying? He not only chose a black Supreme Court justice, but he chose a black Supreme Court justice who was dark-skinned. You know what I'm saying? And who had a hair, which is reminiscent of African women. And not only that, she has an African name. You see, so this is the name of the game. This is the type of concessions that they hand out. And little girls, you know, they look at that and they in their subconscious, you know, they look at that and they say, "Oh yeah, I want to be like her." And the parents are, "Yeah, you know, you could be like her. You could be able whatever you want to be." Same thing go for the boys, you know. Same go out little boys, you know, they appoint some black dude, make them the first this, first that, and they do the same thing. And they do the same. Now, how is all this connected? It's connected with some of that to pull off an independent party. We would have to clean house. We would have to take care of business, you know, and we would have to change the narrative. No, not change the narrative, take over the narrative to change the narrative. That's what we have to do. And so what would that require? This is where the hood comes into play at. And you know, like I said, you know, what would this look like? What would this third-party politics or independent party, what would it look like? And, of course, like I say, you know, you look at this, and there's a number of facets to it, and I hope I can cover them all, you know what I'm saying? And there's so much, you know, you could kind of be racing some because, like, your mind is thinking all these things, and they come to mind. You know, sometimes, you know, jot down just some of these little things, you know, that you want to bring out, you know. But if you look at us as a collective group of people, and this is something I said also on the Zoom call, learning that, studying my people, observing my people, just like everybody else does. Everybody has us under the microscope. Everybody has us under the telescope, whatever you want to call it, you know. And they study and observe us. You know, and so learning that myself, you know, years ago, I drew the conclusion, and it may be offensive to some, you know, and it is not meant to be offensive. I know some of these words and terms that we can be sensitive to, but the psychology, the psyche, the consciousness, the collective consciousness is like a collage almost, you know, to where you have. To my understanding, that I was able to reach, Africans, blacks, Negroes, and niggas. Malcolm X used to speak about the house nigga and the field nigga. You know, in some cases, to be mindful, conscious of the word nigga, you know, he would say the house Negro and the field Negro. You know what I'm saying? Because Negro during his time was the standard classification of people of African descent as Negro. Those of us who was born, I believe, up until at least the 70s or preceding the 70s, on our birth certificate we had Negro on our birth certificate. And so Malcolm, you talk about the house Negro and the field Negro. And out of the four. It's the niggas. The niggas outnumber everybody. You see, and in this game, in this landscape, I've learned that the only time that the niggas have some work is when it's voting time. So the question could be asked or should be asked, forming this independent party, then what's in it for the niggas? Why should they? Why should they entertain it? They've been entertaining it for quite some time. They've been entertaining, and every 2 to 4 years, whatnot. They're looking for the residual, you know, the return. You know, like somebody, creates a brand or whatever, and they spend their money. You know, they pull in tens of thousands of dollars into this brand. They're looking for a return. You know, they're looking to come out of the red. And then come out of the red and break even. And then break even and everything else is there is green. You know, so they're looking for a return. And so going into this, you know, you look at the huge population of us concentrated where? Concentrated in concentrated areas. The Black Panther Party had learned and referred to as occupied colonies. And who occupied them? The pigs occupied them. Why did the pigs occupy them? The pigs occupied them because that was the pigs' job. You know, to keep an eye on things, to make sure things didn't get out of hand. And, it, and there were some few bad apples in the bunch, according to them, some few bad apples in the bunch. What they would do, they would make examples out of them. They tried to make examples out of them, same thing, the same what they did on the plantation. You know, a few bad apples in the bunch, according to them. According to them, these bad apples in the bunch had what was called a drapetomania because they had some crazy psychopathology about their statement of the plantation, and the master had provided everything for them, clothes and food and shelter. They were crazy out of their mind to leave, to try to break away and escape. So they was accused of having what's called drapetomania. See, and so this is this type of thing. But in these occupied countries, where you find a majority of our people, that's why you see persons who want to run for office put on the T-shirts and jeans and a cap and some sneakers and, you know, make his trip through the hood, which is the only time you basically see him. You know, you will find him, they'll go so far to even go to the nightclub where the niggas hang out at. You know, I've seen this in my lifetime myself. You know, a nigga will never even show up nowhere near the hood, period. And you look up and you see him and they, you know, listening to Tupac, you know, jamming off Tupac. And what they refer to in the South is the second line. Same strategy, same shit. So what's it? So what's in it? What's good? How would those who would steer this party? What would be? Of course, we know the ideology is to, you know, vote people in that look like us, put them in these places. If I understood it correctly, if I understood it somewhat efficiently, due to the nature of the Zoom cause anyway, basically based on police terror, right? Something that's based on police terror. What ways to curtail it or whatever. And I'm struggling to say stop. I'm struggling to say stop, you know, to defeat this thing. There's the notion of, you know, putting in people in these places and whatnot. And there are a number of these offices that has something to do curtailing police terror and whatnot. The first thing that comes to my mind is the training, the type of persons who are meant not to train, and to try to tie that in to a voting power. It's almost like apples and oranges, unless again, not only placing people who share our sentiments in these different areas, but placing somebody in a position who I guess will share our sentiments in training them, you know. And so I'm not bringing these things up, but this would require a yeoman's task, which means that those who will be in charge will have no choice but to literally interact and mingling with the people on a consistent basis, being in the neighborhood, what some of us refer to as boots on the ground, not just in some rhetorical sense, some utopian, abstract trip off freedom or whatnot like that, because the people have become more delusional, because it seems like the more things change, the more things seem to stay the same. And so the people become more disillusioned. And this is why a lot of people, I would say over the past 30 years, have turned away from voting. They feel it's a waste of time. Not only feeling it's a waste of time, but they're looking around and they're not seeing any change. They're not seeing any results. The people want results. That goes for any organization, including the People's Political Party. But people are always going to want results. You can't get the people results, then there's no more, no less than bullshit, no more, no less than, you know, a trip on rhetoric and the projection of oneself onto the masses of people, and they never, and the people never get any justice, let alone equality and whatnot. But to establish this independent party, to politically educate the people, in the what? So hypothetically speaking, what would it look like independent party wins a presidential election? Okay, and this independent party who established a presidential candidate, and that presidential candidate then decides that who is his or her running mate is going to be. And as I said, you know, Cynthia McKinney, who hailed from Georgia, who had come a long way, who had become politicized herself, and she had become politicized herself through learning about the history of the Black Panther Party and the sort of taking down or neutralizing the Black Panther Party militarily, as is understood, as is put forth by Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., the leader of the Black Panther Party Cubs, where he stresses that the Black Panther Party was defeated militarily, but it wasn't defeated ideologically. You see what I'm saying? And I agree with that. And this is one of the reasons why the People's Political Party exists today, because ideology-wise, the Black Panther Party, we feel, is the most practical. Survival programs, looking at the system of what it was, explaining, you know, what it was. They were able to get us understand the real nature of the police, the rich and the poor, putting racism in the proper context, putting classism in the proper context, the prison system and so forth, the economic system, international system, imperialism and so forth, why this country has to be the most hated country in the world, the things that has done Black and brown indigenous people all over the earth and whatnot. And so we feel that the most practical, not only do we feel that the most practical, also, J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI also felt, you know, obviously it was the most practical because they had viewed it as the most dangerous organization, and threat to the internal security of this government, you know. And so to be able to put the people in a position to understand it. There's a victory on the part of this independent party. What is the first order of business? It could be an array of things, a multifaceted approach. With the George Floyd phenomenon that took place in the post George Floyd era that we're still in, and it's still fresh, you know, this thing about abolish the police, you know, there's even some where you talk about abolishing the prison system and whatnot. You know, what would that look like? You know, the abolish the police. The Black Panther Party believed in armed patrols, you know, because they, again, they knew that the police was the enemy. They knew that the police had to do their job or it would be a contradiction, that the police would actually cut off, in essence, its own hand, where the hand that's feeding them, that allows them to live above and beyond the ghetto, or above and beyond being one paycheck from having a utilities cut off and so forth. And this is what it is. It is what it is. This is the reality of it all. You know, but there's a number of things. I believe that what it would boil down to is getting in the seat that actually steers the power. You know, those who, at the push of a button, can have shit done, and whether people like it or not, and so forth. And then, you know, tell the people that this is for our own good, you know, when in actuality, what he mean by our is his own little white, you know, male patriarchal rule, you know, his little class. And, of course, he can shield himself. He can put nine whites around him, you know, to make it not look racial, to make it look like it's what's that word I'm looking for? A collage of Americans. And so it is. It won't look racial. It won't look, you know, blacks against whites. You know, in the final outcome, you know, like even some of the neo-Nazis believe in a black and white race war and so forth, so they could camouflage themselves. And this would be, you know, unfortunately, you know, those blacks who had been monitored from the time that they was in elementary school all the way up through high school and finishing the top of their class and going on to college, being given, you know, free college education or whatnot, you know, to attend school, to attend the big-time prestigious universities, and then when they're done, then they go to work for the empire. Well, Malcolm X used to talk about, you know, this back in the 60s, encouraging those of us who wanted to go to school and so-called make something of ourselves and whatnot, how that, you know, learning all these different arts and sciences and different fields and whatnot and bringing it back to the neighborhood and building up our shit, building up our people, unless you end up working for the same forces who we had claimed to be fighting in the first place, you know, which will put you in one heck of a bind, in one heck of a position. See what I'm saying? And this has been his story. This has been going on for the past 120 years. You go back and you look. And this is something I also brought up about, you know, try to give some type of a picture, try to paint a type of picture as to how it even got there, way, how it even began that way. And so these are all the things. They're not insurmountable. The point is that they're surmountable, but it's not going to come without any blood, sweat, and tears. The same way our ancestors on the plantation had went through the blood, sweat, and tears in order to stay alive. A lot of us, black women played their natural roles in how we were able to survive as a people. A lot of them gave up their own bodies. They gave up their own selves in order, you know, for black men and black boys and whatnot, and their daughters to so-called make it all the way through the Jim Crow and whatnot, you know, and all this kind of shit and whatnot, you know. And it's just trying to paint a realistic picture, you know, in developing what the system would say, you know, education and trying to get, you know, our people moving in a desired manner, which would basically be a third-party politics, you know. I had said a little while ago about, you know, third-party politics sometimes can go either way. And I wanted to, like, just try to, like, you know, touch on that a little bit. Again, if anybody, you know, listening, have any questions, comments, whatever, you know, don't be afraid to speak. You know, don't be afraid to hit that one on your button and, you know, into the queue, and we get you on. This is People's Radio and Defense of People Radio, and this is what it's about. Again, you know, we take this opportunity to use this as a political education platform to educate what we feel our people in a proper way, in a proper manner. You know, following in the footsteps and on the shoulders of mainly of the organization, the Black Panther Party. And there were other organizations, you know, who have gotten not as much mention or attention, you know, as the Black Panther Party due to what the nature of what the Black Panther Party had become in the eyes of the state. But anyway, you know, the usage of an independent party. There's been instances where these unseen forces running both parties, and we'll get into that too. and that in essence will also, you know, lend more weight, you know, to what, you know, what the sister was saying. You know, she was, you know, she was making sense. But anyway, there's been instances where there, you know, unseen forces will enter somebody in the arena because they're targeting one or the other person who actually has some juice, right? And a lot of times that there have been somebody from the Democratic side.
Black Power,
who was in. Yeah, go ahead, Kyrie. You got somebody?
We got. Oh, no, never mind. As you will. They out of there.
Okay, okay. Yeah, right on. But look, you know, it's been times where there are certain persons who have learned about this, referred to them as the Unseen Hand. There's actually a book called The Unseen Hand, and it has a subtitle called An Introduction to the Conspiratorial View of History by Ralph Epperson. I read the book and it was fascinating, you know, to know that there are people in this world that think on a whole way different level while everybody else is on some other shit. I've learned to say that there's two Bibles, a Bible for the masses and the Bible for them. You know what I'm saying? But it's been more, I would believe, directed toward Democratic candidates, whereas before it may have been directed toward the Republican when black people were being courted by the Republicans. But this is how it works. Somebody who has that potential to come along, like white people collectively, you know, they'll give you John F. Kennedy. You know, they believe that John F. Kennedy was the best president that the people ever had, and this is why they had so much tears and wailing and heartache and heartbroken and all this kind of shit when he was assassinated by the same forces that I'm talking about, right? So, you know, this person that comes along, you know, again, he has charisma and all this kind of shit, all these different things that the state understands. So what they did was they put up their own Democratic person. You know, they put money behind him. They gave him all the TV time in the world. They set him up on the different platforms where he can be seen nationally, all around the country. And what did they do? They created a social engineering process where the people can internalize that. And so then it will put the people in sort of a dilemma. So, both of them appear to be cool. So what does it do? It split the Democratic vote. And this is the strategy they use, is split the Democratic vote, which would allow the Republican candidate to go on up, you know, most of the numbers. And that's the beginning of it. That's the beginning of it. They can look at the numbers and see what the odds is of losing and what the odds is of winning. You know, and they've had success at that. Whereas before, when there's a Republican, they did the same thing. The same unseen forces. I mentioned some of these families. A lot of people in the community may be familiar with the Rockefeller. They may be familiar with the Rockefeller family because, for one thing, Jay-Z had a record label referred to as Rockefeller. Some of us may remember the name that way. It wasn't necessarily spelled the same way as the Rockefeller family spells there, but when you pronounce it, it comes out, the same. In other words, it's like a play on the words where back in the 80s, MCs and whatnot, they had a challenge, so to speak, whether they could get on the mic and rock the crowd, right? Or somebody could do a freestyle or whatnot, or you know you can just be anywhere and somebody say bust a rhyme, bust 16 bars, and we want to know you stand there right now, let's see if you could rock a fella. See, that's the play on word. And that is something, and it was genius, I must say. It was genius. But some of us have heard, this name, this family last name. But these are some of the unseen forces that lie behind both parties. And this is where the sister, may agree. This is what she's talking about, how both of these parties really don't give a damn. It's just that one is able to sell himself better than the other. One is able to look more friendlier than the other one. You know what I'm saying? One is able to come off more cooler than the other. I'll tell you who perfected the game. One William Jefferson Clinton, who was named after a slave master. Okay? He perfected the game. He perfected the game. What did he do? Party campaign? Yeah, go ahead, Kyrie. You got a caller?
Nah. I just wanted to add when you was talking about
go ahead.
The record labels was that the same motherfuckers that own the record labels, it's the same motherfuckers that owns and runs the prisons.
Right on.
Let me repeat that.
There you go.
The same motherfuckers that own the record labels is the same motherfuckers that own and run the prisons. There ain't no coincidence. Like
no, not at all. Yeah, right on. There you go. And that's the type of, you know, that's the type of information that people need, because it heightens their awareness. It heightens, you know, it's able to get them to see and you know, the whole game. You know, because, you know, there's certain forces, there's certain people that do certain work, you know, for the state, and they're forewarning them. You know, they're forewarning them. Like I had mentioned about the street tribes, they're forewarning them that if the street tribes had become this way, then the jig is up. So, you know, and that's why they plan ahead. You know, that's why they could never sleep with both eyes closed and only one eye closed. You know what I'm saying? That's why they have 24-hour security around the clock and whatnot. And the thing about that is, you know, a lot of those is our people. You know, because of the condition, because again, being in control of the power and control of, you know, the labor market, the job market, you know, creating jobs. You know, they can create jobs, but the situation doesn't change. And that can look good on their gross, you know, domestic product, their gross national, their GNP, and all this kind of shit. This is why you see, like, the propaganda media, corporate control media propaganda apparatus is when they talk about how it don't matter if it's a Republican president or a Democratic president, because they both say, oh, well, you know, for the month of August, you know, $150,000 jobs created, whatnot. Ain't no telling what that is. They just give you a statistic so they get you to believe, look, you know, the economy has been boosted. That, you know, this is the same strategy. It's the same tactic, the same strategy. And when I tell you, when the last time you've been in the hood? So where was that? Where was that come up at? You know, like when people go to these city council and they be in there talking about the community, this, the community, that. So what community are you talking about? You can't, I'm going to pull out a map and you show me what a come up was. You know, it's the same strategy, same tactic. You know, but, you know, they use a third party to get rid of the person that has some type of charisma or who has the potential, at least, you know, to... some type of a fair attempt, so to speak. And in the real world, no such thing as fair. You ask some of these cats who've been in the military, you know, been in there a long time, you know, who've been in a theater of war and what, there's no such thing as fair. No, there's no such thing as fair, no fair nothing. You know what I'm saying? Warring about who's left. I mean, warring about who's right. Warring about who's left. You know, that's what they call an axiom. You know, axiom, A-X-I-O-M. It's like a law. You know that they have, that they put on the bush. Well, this is the real shit. No, yeah, that what you said. That's all right, but this is where it's at right here. This is where it's at right here. So we could chop it up in so many ways, which is what we're doing tonight. We chop it up so many ways. We look at it and say, okay, it's viable, it's practical. You know, but when it comes down to it, is how much and how deep the people going to be fed when it comes to educating them, politically educating them. You understand? I saw a picture. Some genius took and got onto the idea of you know what we talking about, right? Created a picture, and they were trying to hip the people to what's going on, right? So what they did was they put a jackass and an elephant together, right? And they put a leech around you know the elephant, and they put a leech around the you know the jackass, the donkey, and the chain at which wasn't too long, you know, wasn't too far when the chain had become bound into one. And then you see this hand holding the chain. And so they put that out there. You know, because, you know, art can be used in a revolutionary way. The Chinese had tremendous success using revolutionary art because it was a visual effect. It got the people to see. It got the people to see themselves. And so when the people saw themselves, then they realized that they had to take their lives back because what they saw in themselves was utter slavery. Not just this person that lived over here, or this person, no, utter slavery. It, you know, they got them to, they used art. And again, this is what was genius about the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party adapted that. They adapted that. Like they took the police. And they said, okay, what is the police? Well, Emory Douglas, who was that master artist? What do? What do you say you do? He said, well, I took a pig and took the pig, made the pig stand up on its hind legs. And then I put a police uniform on a pig in the hat. And I put a billy club in one of his forelegs. And that took off. I mean, it just took what they call today going by. It went viral. The people started, that's how he got the people to see in the hood, in the neighborhood, the so-called ghetto. You see, and the people could relate to it because the billy club was how somebody shell shot, right? Somebody been in war, and I remember like, you know, a lot of cats would come back from Vietnam, whatever they had, what they call it, post-traumatic stress syndrome, right? All right, you know, like a car be passing by and the pistol or misfire, they make it sound like a gunshot, and what happens to them? It's like a trigger, right? All right, well, that was the same thing that this pig and the, you know, this animal, you know, it triggered and they can relate to it. And so this is not, you know, they got white people called the police pigs now. You know, when Charles Manson murdered, you know, these rich people or whatever, what did he do? He dipped in their blood and he sprawled, wrote pigs across the wall in blood to throw the pigs off and make the pigs think that it was the Black Panther Party that did. You know, because they're the ones who popularized the word pig, and it correlates to the Latin nasty treatment by the police of black people. You see, and that's how that, but it was using revolutionary art, you know, so it could become useful. It could become useful. And so this person it's like a similar type of idea, you know, to hit the American populace upside the head and say, look, fool, you being made a fool. Look. You know, and you know, it don't have to be a direct, you know, some, you know, yeah, my boy, you're fool with it. You know, it's like slang, like, you know what I'm saying? What's up, fool? You know, how they speak, like maybe like on the West Coast, what's up, fool? Like that, you know, what you getting into tonight? Shit like that. It don't necessarily have to be like derogatory, but people don't like being made fools of. And this is what this depiction was trying to portray. You know, when you had Clinton, Hillary Clinton, as some people have learned to call him, Obama, McCain on the other end, Republican, all this kind of shit, whatnot. And you had this thing that was going on. You had this thing that was going on. And you know, they talk about each other, quote unquote, like dogs on the surface. You know, try to upstage one another in front of an audience of people, a well-contrived thing that's put out in front of, you know, the audience, whatnot, and some person from the major going to facilitate, you know, just going to ask these questions, already prearranged questions and shit, you know, and so, you know, the name began how it worked, and this is on the surface, but behind the scene, you have these forces that's pulling both sides. You know, you can't win. I mean, you couldn't lose. This is a strategy. This is why some of these politicians, some of these fans could do what they do and don't worry about nothing. That's why some of these politicians go have somebody knocked off, cheat the count, you know, suppress shit, block black people from reaching the voting polls on time in Florida. And still lose, and then take away from the count, you know, the show that he won, because that's what they do. You know, it don't faze them. don't faze them. And this is how difficult. This is the playing field. This is the landscape that you have to take in consideration. You know, with black people developing their own party. You know, like I said, anything is physically possible. You know, it's not an insurmountable task at all, period. You know, but a number of these things would have to be taken into consideration. Another thing, let us look at taking into consideration, you know, the tiny minority of rich blacks, the famous blacks, you know, the athlete, the entertainer, you know. What am I leaving out here? The athlete, the entertainer, the actor and the actress and those blacks who have become successful in the business world. And I mean to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars. Like the brother who actually say this right, brother who helped or had some type of a thing with Nipsey Hussle. You know, the dude's he started off I think in the stock market world or Wall Street, and then he took that money and flipped it into real estate and a real estate broker and stuff like that, him and his wife. And they flipped that money, then they flipped that money, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And so dudes like that, you don't hear about. The chances is that you will hear about them is through Black Enterprise Magazine. You know, which caters to, you know, successful black businessmen, you know, successful black business owners and whatnot, and, you know, give you their portfolio, their portfolio and their worth and whatnot, you know, so and so was a billionaire and whatnot. And yet there's been some of these athletes who managed to so-called what they say, play their cards right, you know, and to the point where you would say, played the game, didn't let the game play me, you know, and are billionaires now, or close to being a billionaire. You take Michael Jordan, who owns a basketball team, I believe. You take Magic Johnson, who went in a part ownership of one of these football teams, basketball or something, you know. But, you know, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, look at Oprah Winfrey, right? Bill Cosby, what we saw what happened to Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby started off pro-black in the mud, you know. There's old videos of Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby used to do these things about make sure black children, you know, would know about black inventors and whatnot. And he missed no words about it. He created Fat Albert in the Game. It was a cartoon I used to watch when I was a little boy, you know. And he had these little subtle messages in there about sticking together and being from the hood. You know, it was set in the hood, you know. And but, you know, then he went out, he went over here. And some people say, well, yeah, he was subverted. Some people say he was allowed a niche in Hollywood. He was allowed a space in Hollywood so he can create this. He was allowed a position in the world of cinema, in the world of film. He had ideas. And what did he do? He created a different strokes. A different world, and the other one that escapes my mind. A different world and the Huxtables, whatever that is. All right, so, you know, he went from there to there. He went from there, you know, from the hood, you know, to black middle class. And, you know, to portray, you know, black people beyond the pimp, the dope pusher, and the prostitute, and the thug, and whatnot, you know, into a more cleaner image, black imagery in cinema, you know, in prime time television, you know, black people, some of these blacks, you know, the Negroes would complain about how black people wasn't in the commercials.
you know, they was complaining. And you know, corporate was, okay, well, we'll start putting you in McDonald's commercials and whatnot and all this kind of shit and different commercials and whatnot. And so these are all concessions. Those were all concessions. They were all concessions. Because this was a particular class, a particular clique. Now, why do I bring that up? Okay, so what would this look like to say, you know, establish a black independent party that we would put our own people in place? Now, imagine that. Here we are, we want to put our people in place, and if it's grassroots, they ain't got but one choice. We're going to make a decision, you know, right or left. Now, that's their decision to make, you know, because I'm not sweating the shit. I am a revolutionary. I'm not sweating it, period. But that's a decision. Now, if this thing is based on some grassroots shit, like the Malcolm X grassroots movement, then it's viable. It's practical. There's no gray area. There's no being bought off. There's no, you ain't for sale. You know what I'm saying? So it builds momentum. Then this small little handful of rich blacks got a decision to make. They got a decision to make. Because after all, some of them, they use every voting season. Some of them, they use every voting season, you know, to sway the black vote this way for some Democratic person who comes along. How long they've been doing it? They've been doing this shit for a long time. You know, in the, I believe, the 90s and the 2000s, they used to have this King Summit thing. And they used to host it, I believe, in the Superdome, in New Orleans Superdome. 1 year, you know, it got big. And then it would start bringing in these so-called famous persons and whatnot. I believe 1 year, they had LL Cool J there, where they were bringing these, you know, these famous persons. Who the youth, you know, would be like, you know, almost the equivalent of seeing Jesus, you know, or whatever, you know, you know the image about a star, you know, this star thing, you know, and so there's who's behind that? Who's behind that strategy? You know, P. Diddy will make this commercial, vote or die, their prayers will come and contest that and say, get free or die trying. You know, rock the vote. You know, the militants will say, well, shit, we've been doing that, so it's time for us to rock the vote. And then there's a group that said, well, we see what they would have the potential of doing, then we got to prevent the vote from being rocked. And so these are all the things. Now, it may be a whole host of things, you know, that I brought up, that I've mentioned, that may. Well, damn, well, whose side you on? Well, you know, are you building up a whole list of things that, you know, being realistic? You know, like I said, I don't think it's insurmountable. But I do believe that some heads got a roll, you know, in order for this to be pulled off. It is what it is. You know, those persons who are into that, they're serious. We believe that voting has immediate and quick limitations to it. It doesn't extend outward, out into space or anything like nothing like that. It has immediate limitations, local level, state level, and the federal level. You know, but we had a black president. Did the hood improve? Did our conditions improve? It may be some who say, well, you know, Obama can't whatnot, you know, and so forth. The right, the white. Right-wing conservative. Now there's the conservative conservatives, and then there's the extreme conservative, right? Now, what they did was they labeled it socialism. They labeled it socialism, right? They labeled it socialism for what? So, because socialism is already been bad-jacketed. You know, like every leader that the state doesn't like, they bad-jacket, right? Every last one of them. The only way you don't get bad-jacketed is you have to be rolling with their program. The minute you start rolling with their program, then you become bad-jacketed. Bad-jacketed is a strategy that the FBI used, you know, to use on the Black Panther Party members in terms of to try to turn them against one another, internal, to create internal mistrust,
and so forth. You know, and it became deadly in some instances. And when you bad jacket one of the comrades, you put out the notion that he's a agent, an agent of our tour, and so forth, a snitch, and you know, that kind of shit there. And it worked, you know, in one or two instances, right? But, you know, any one of those who doesn't follow that line, then they become bad jack. And they become, you know, the bad guys and stuff like that. And so when you have to deal with those types of things, how do you counteract them? How do you counteract them? You know, you counteract them by, again, being in the midst of the people. It's a constant education process. You know, you can't get warm and get hot and then go cold. You know, there are even persons now who are running for president. To my understanding, I hear Cornel West is running for president. After all these years, of what? Of obeying, you know, of obedience to the state, you know, getting there. You can say heading toward, you know, the end of the line, so forth. You know, it ain't like he's 35. It ain't like he's 40. You know what I'm saying? But after all these years, what does it take? Extreme poverty, extreme conditions, you know, to jar your memory or whatever. But we look at these things and we see them as these ploys but still to try to give black people hope. You know, black people hope. The white boy seeing even say to himself, you know, how do we fix a broken system? And you're trying to give black people hope. Jesse Jackson got rich off of that slope. Keep hope alive. He got rich off of it, you know. He's able to live out the rest of his life, you know, in luxury, you know, with no problems at all. And then the people still incurring the brunt of the blow, you know, still incurring the brunt of the blow. But again, you know, these rich blacks, what becomes of them? What, do we give them an ultimatum? You know, it's us or them. Do we give them an ultimatum? You know, Ice Cube, you know, and I love Ice Cube. You know, when Ice Cube went solo, Ice Cube woke a lot of brothers and sisters up. He woke a lot of brothers and sisters up. He didn't take for granted what he was saying in his music. You know, that's why he would have you listen to his song, When Will They Shoot? You know, he had FOI on his back, you know, and he went solo, you know, and those albums, you know, monumental albums, solo albums, you know, and he would go into the politics, and tell you, When Will They Shoot? Listen to that song, you know, brilliant song, you know, but to have seen him on Newsmax, you know, it's mind-blowing, you know. Newsmax is the enemy. They're the outward enemy. They're the outward enemy. The going line is that Trump is the enemy. You know, Trump is a racist. Trump don't like niggas. Trump don't like black and brown people in particularly. You know, he's done a lot for poor whites, the rednecks. You know, and he'll say he's did more for black people than any president. You know, I didn't hear anybody come out on him and challenge him on it. I'm not saying it's true, but that's what he said. But I didn't hear anybody come out and challenge him on that. Charlemagne ain't got none of that, period. Cornel West, none of them. You know? But it was, you know, surreal, you know, to see him on Newsmax and talking to the very people that black people are led to believe is racist, you know, is, you know, the Trump types, you know, like Fox, you know, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, you know, who constantly going and going and going. But if you listen to Newsmax and you hear them, there's a white Hispanic white Hispanic on there. And he's so clever that, you know, he'll go Trump all day, right? So to keep you from accusing him of being racist, he'll say that he's a minority because he's Hispanic. So you can't accuse him of being racist. This is the type of shenanigans on the chessboard, the chess moves that they make. But to go on there and not read them the Riot Act, you know, instead talking about something about the corporation, you can get the corporations to support the community and whatnot, you know, like in my mind, I'm trying to make sense of the whole shit, you know, because it ain't adding up right. So the only thing that I could think of is, well, why is he on there in the first place? You know, like, why would he choose to do it? You know, what's his purpose? What's his, you know, what's the objective here? You know, I mean, bad enough that we have to listen to CNN bullshit. Bad enough that we have to be lulled to sleep by them. You know, and you can look at that and say, well, this is what, you know, the sister's getting at. You know, not decide, really give shit about us, you know, and so forth, you know. But, the rich blacks, would they find themselves in a heck of a dilemma? I believe that in the final analysis, shit hit the fan. I believe the rich blacks or want to roll with the left, you know. The left is in terms of militancy, in other words, you know. From a religious perspective, it would be the right. You know, the old narrative about, you know, and Jesus, you know, sat on the right-hand side of God and whatnot, the old Bugs Bunny, the old Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, where they had the Bugs Bunny characters and whatnot, and Elmer Fudd and all this kind of shit. And, you know, Elmer Fudd had the ups. Elmer Fudd is the one with the, you know, book with the little, funny, like, little speech pattern or whatever, but he always hunting rabbits and shit, and hunt, and he caught Bugs Bunny slipping. Bugs Bunny was asleep, so he had the something on him, right? And he's getting ready to do his thing, and then the little angel pops up on his right shoulder and says, "That's not cool. You know, all forms of life are beautiful. You know, they're all creations of, you know, a God and whatnot, you know." And then the little red little devil pops up on the left shoulder and was like, "Oh, you know, to hell with him. He's talking shit. You got to eat. You know, pull that trigger. He's got to eat. You got to eat like everybody else got to eat. What are you going to say about that?" So this is a dilemma. So which one of them is right? Who's wrong here? Who's wrong? You know, who's right, who's wrong? You got to eat. You know, I've heard white Jewish rabbis say that God put the animals here for that. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, killing them. He put them there for that. You know what I'm saying? So this is the type of psychology that's going here. You know, and that is they would, in the final, that's we want to move to the left because the shit's hitting the fan. Whereas before the shit hit the fan, everything is cool. You know, you can sell us on all type of shit. You know, nah, I don't be with them. They don't be with me. It may be somebody who may know something about Magic Johnson that I don't know. Maybe somebody who may know something about Michael Jordan that I don't know. You know, we have a fee to be program. You know, that's what we do. You know, ain't nobody pulling no strings here. Nobody's dictating shit. Man, ain't nobody giving us no treasure trove of money. And then we go out there and do something they don't like, and they pull the rug out from underneath. That don't happen here. It don't happen here. You know what I'm saying? We do this for the love of the people. It was as simple as that. But we have, you know, certain elements in our midst. You know, we break bread so freely, so liberally, you know, with no problem. But when it comes to the black community, well, they know where to be found. They know where to be found. You know, and so we're talking about creating an independent black party. Then We got to deal with them. We got to deal with them. You know, I mentioned, you know, the Herschel Walker types, J.C. Watt types. Look at Larry Elder. Look at Larry Elder. You know? Some people may see him as the most pitiful Negro ever in the history of black humanity, not only here in America, but around the world. Yeah, of course, he would have to compete with a few of them who are out there, but take him for instance. Take him for instance. You know, people like that who are so far gone, he's no different than some of the little dudes out here on the streets, you know, that we see is so far gone, it's a point of no return that they're going to have to be wiped out, you know, or they'll try to kill us, you know, for their own selfish motives or whatever, you know, or their little clique that don't go no further than the avenue, you know, for their own self-aggrandizement. Unless we get them to understand that the picture is way much more bigger, that you can go beyond the avenue. And if you go beyond the avenue, then you're running some other cats who've gone through the same thing that you go through, who have to deal with the same problem that you have to deal with on a larger level, because the police will show you and him that both of y'all are worthless to him, that both of y'all are worthless to the state. You have no worth to the state unless you do one or two things. You know, you end up in their concentration camp system, or you end up fighting their proxy wars overseas. You know, you take your pick. And we say that if you end up in their concentration camp, then you should end up in their concentration camp as a prisoner of war, in a war of attrition for your own liberation and your own people army. You know, to win your own liberation. You know, you have actual... what's his word escaped my mind? Like the East Asian, like the Chinese do, like the Japanese do. You know, they have backing. They, you know, they have shit that back them. You know, like the dollar bill was once backed by gold, by the gold standard. So they have backing. Yeah, we got backing too. You know, the richest continent on earth. It's just as the same similar situation as there, that's here, or that's here, that's there. And the same process has to come into play as of late, recently. It looked like it's finally here. It looked like it's finally here. But that ain't the first time. It's been snuffed out. And we have to keep at it no matter what. The sky should be a limit. But that will be, you know, a part of it. You know, the people can no longer keep foot in the bill. And there's no residuals, you know. But to pull that off, you know, you have to be willing to put it on the line. You have to be willing to put it on the line. You know, how do we build collectively across the black diaspora, even here in the snakes, you know, in the United Snakes of America? You know, we give them no comfort in our terminologies and the labels that we use. Period. We give no comfort, period. And so this is what it is, you know what I'm saying? But it's a number of things that we have to consider, you know? But again, it's always going to be about, you know, the power, you know, wrestling power out of both of them's hands, you know? And of course it may be something else that you know, of course, not in a vacuum, so to speak, you know, black people are very formidable, and that's proven where you have, one or two individuals and 30 cops or more show up, 30 pigs or more show up for one black man. You know, that tell you something right there. So it'll be about the power, you know, but to gain the power. And then it would have to be a process of dismantling pretty much everything, you know, pretty much everything. Then we develop this thing and get in the power. The bigger question is,
What type of system do we get in the seat and still run the same system? In other words, you know, every year there's a football coach that gets fired because he didn't live up to the expectations in the season, whether it's in college football or the so-called NFL, right? In some instances, some people know the NFL stands for not for long. But every year a coach gets fired because they'll live up to the expectation. And then they have to bring in a new coach. So when they bring in a new coach, the question is, did the new coach keep the same system intact that the old coach had and keep it moving? It's just a new face. Or does that new coach bring in a new system as well as being a new face? See, so these are things that we have to consider. Somebody got to be doing some damn good homework. Somebody had to be better be doing some damn homework. You know, serious, straight up. Capitalism is capitalism, regardless if it's black, brown, red, yellow, all white. All white, period. You know, it forces people into a lopsided relationship. And as long as you have a lopsided relationship, you will have a lopsided society. And that's a fact. You can't go nowhere around the world and find capitalism and find the people having a good time with black and brown people. You can't go nowhere. This shit about bringing developing nations up into the new 21st century highly advanced society is bullshit. That's a trade-off. They in Africa for a reason. They in Africa for a reason. So this is what we wanted to cover from a politicized vantage point. And again, we ain't saying it's insurmountable. We ain't saying it's impossible. But we must understand and learn to stay away from the rhetoric and deal with it boots on the ground from the bottom up. You know. And everybody has to have, they has to be different teams. Some people know them as cadres. You know, around the world, in places around the world, you know, people took back their lives and developed a system. The way this system was a people system, you know, a communalist system, a collective, a social collectivist system. For instance, in Libya. And Gaddafi wrote what's called the Green Book, little old book. And he lays it out, you know. And the interesting part about that book, Gaddafi talks about the world revolution. And when you talk about the world revolution, he talks about the world revolution and who could possibly be the one, not possibly, but be the one to spark that world revolution. And he said that would be the black man. And on that note, we're going to close right there. And so we say stay tuned next week for another show of In Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by the PPP. Straight up, I'm one of your hosts, National Chairman Nat Turner, and it's always a pleasure and an honor, and my co-host is Brother Motherland, our National Minister of Defense, and our assault technician behind the scenes is our National Minister of Communication, Sister Amina Oshun, and we see 7 p.m. Central next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, you know, and on that note, we say Black Power. All power to the people and your whole rule. We out of here.